Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to this new year, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to delight in you. Lord, that the world would see how wonderful you are. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the things about New Year's is that everybody makes resolutions. And most of those resolutions are a pain in the neck. How many of you have been there? I'm going to lose 25 pounds. I'm going to run. I'm going to keep my house organized and clean. I'm not going to this. I'm going to that. And resolutions are good. You know, we need to do some of those things. But I want us today, as we look at 2019, I want us to make a resolution that really should be a lot more fun. I want us to resolve to celebrate in 2019. That's something that Christians do too little, celebrate. You know, I've even noticed here at Living by Faith Church that people will come to the services, but when we have fun things, people are like, I'll stay home. Or I was like, is that really spiritual? Going bowling? Getting together with the church and just enjoying each other's fellowship? We've got this inbuilt Puritan thing in our lives that says, you know, God is up there going, are you having fun? Yeah. Well, calm it down a little bit. You're interrupting my rest time. You know, we had last night, I think the guy behind us, his name is Juan. I think he had another birthday last night. Because it was, you know, we're trying to sleep. God doesn't need us to quiet down so you can sleep. I do. God doesn't. And we're in a world that more and more is forgetting what it's like to really be happy and joyful. If you listen to news, it's all divisive and offensive and offended, and everything is so serious that we've forgotten how to laugh, except in bitter, sort of vengeful laughing at somebody's discomfort. It's always been that way. Satan's tendency is to try and make you worry, try and make you feel that the world is just so heavy and so serious and everything could just destroy you. I want you to remember you're in God's hands if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it wasn't any different. I want to start back in the days of Nehemiah. I want to go to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. And if you all know the story, Ezra and Nehemiah, they'd come out of captivity. The Israelites had come out of captivity, and they went back to build their city, and they went back to build their temple. But there was all sorts of people who were against them, who were trying to stop them. And so they had to build with a shovel in one hand and a spear or a sword in the other. And they had to really take care. And it was a difficult, hard time. But they finally got it done. And then they read the Torah, the Pentateuch, the book of the law. And in chapter 8 of Nehemiah, starting in verse 8, it says, so they read distinctly from the book of the law of the Lord, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord. And I want you to notice, he says, neither mourn nor weep, neither mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Torah, the words of the law. So people heard God's word, and it pricked them to the heart, and they cried. And you know, when you see what God wants and you realize what you've done, the tendency can be to cry. But Nehemiah and Ezra say, no, the time for crying is past. And this is what he goes on and he says. In verse 10, he says, then he says to them, go your way. And I want you to notice this. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. And send portions to those who nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now I want you to look at what God is saying here. He's saying, he didn't say this. He didn't say, well, you know, go eat, but make sure that you watch your carbs. And that you make sure there's enough green here, and take your fiber, and he says, eat the fat, drink the sweet. He's saying, this is a day of celebration. Now, there's a time for counting carbs and eating greens and checking the labels. But the days of celebration are not those. And we some, I can't let myself go. Because this is the temple of the Holy Spirit and I got to take care of it. Yes, you do. You should. But part of it is knowing when and how to celebrate the great things that God has done. During, you know, about 300 days of the year, 310 days of the year, go ahead, count your carbs, you know, eat your little nuts and have your kale, okra. But when it comes time for Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and those days, don't feel guilty about eating the fat and letting go, because it says food was made for nutrition, but it's also made for joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. God allows you the freedom to eat of these things with thanksgiving. Paul tells Timothy that very same thing. That there were people in the church, and he calls it a doctrine of demons. The people who forbid you certain foods. Don't eat those. Paul calls it a doctrine of demons. He says, go ahead, eat. Eat the fat. The joy of the Lord is your strength. See, the world understands, they think this way. The world looks and they say, you know, this is a very serious thing. Because everything depends on what I do. You know what? Everything doesn't depend on what you do. Everything depends on what God does through you. And God is going to do it. You are not the final cause. Rest in the hands of God who puts a banqueting table before you, Psalm 23, in the presence of your enemies. Rejoice. There's nothing that bugs the world more than when they try and push you and knock down your walls and do all the things that they were trying to do to Nehemiah. When you look at them and you put another mouthful of turkey in your face and say, you know, God is good. Because Jesus Christ said in John 10:10, I come to give you abundant life. In 2019, resolve to celebrate when celebration is due. And even Jesus Christ himself in Luke chapter 7, verse 34, he shows us how people looked at him. He was not... You know, what I don't understand about the world is how they always get it backwards. How many of you have been to a Chinese restaurant and seen a picture of the Buddha? Or not a picture, but a statue of the Buddha? How do they always put the Buddha in a Chinese restaurant? Big and fat. Buddha wasn't. Because Buddha didn't celebrate. Buddha's whole point, once he got, quote, enlightened, was to not desire anything. Buddha was probably a skinny old rail. I don't know why they put him fat in the Chinese restaurants. Probably because they want you to eat their fried rice. But so they picture the Buddha fat. And they picture Christ. When have you seen a picture of a healthy, well-built, smiling Christ? No, he had a reputation. In Luke 7, verse 34...
He says this. He says, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber.
Jesus Christ did not get drunk, and Jesus Christ did not overeat, but he came close enough that the picture stood. I mean, you would never call John the Baptist, who was eating locusts, a glutton and a wine bibber. You know, here's a glutton. What are you eating? I'm crickets. So they told John the Baptist, you got a demon. But Jesus, who in his first miracle made water into wine, Jesus, they looked at and they said, that guy, he's a glutton and he drinks too much. That's the picture they put of him. Because he enjoyed eating and drinking in times where eating and drinking was appropriate. The joy of the Lord was his strength. So when we look at that, I don't just want to concentrate on the food. And we're going to go into some things that I think we should resolve to do in 2019 to make our life more of a celebration. And the first one is, though, the food. I will find time to eat with joy before the Lord and share. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, we won't turn there, but he talks about the tithe. And pastors love to talk about the tithe. Y'all got a tithe, guys. But no pastors talk about this tithe. Because this tithe, God says, I want to tell you to take a tenth of whatever you make. And if it's too far for you to carry it with you, because it was sheep and goats and stuff, trade it for money and sell it. And then I want you to come to my place and I want you to buy food and drink, whatever your heart desires. And there I want you to eat before me and celebrate and share with those who don't have. What a wonderful thing. How many of us, if God were to come and tell you, okay, you make what? Okay, say you make $50,000 a year. And God comes to us and says, you're to have a party. And you're to spend a tenth of what you made on that party. How many of you have had a $5,000 party this past year if you made $50,000? If you made $100,000, how many had a $10,000 party? If you made $10,000, how many had a $1,000 party? How many of you made $100,000 had a $1,000 party? But God wanted his people to celebrate the joy of God. And enjoy it, because God is a delight. So, resolve in 2019, those times which are made for celebrations, and they're specific ones, really enjoy them. Don't go to somebody's birthday party and say, well, you know, I'm going to eat the kale. And then find a way to share with those around you. Those who don't have the money to celebrate like you do, go out and give it to them. Second thing, I will seek daily the good, the pure, the beautiful, and the praiseworthy. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there be anything virtuous, if there be anything worthy of praise, I will think on these things. How many of us get up in the morning and say, I am going to find some beauty in my world today and I'm going to think about it? The world throws us ugliness. We go on Netflix and we watch movies about narcos killing people, and we do this. It's everything is thrown at us that's just ugly and decrepit and decayed. And God says, no. God says, I made a creation. How did he say about his creation? He says, it's very good. He says, I want you to concentrate on those things which are noble and pure and beautiful and just. Don't spend your time swimming in the sewer and expect to come out smelling like a rose. It isn't going to happen. Look for those wonderful things. You know, there are such things. Even in people we don't like, you can usually find something that's good because God made them. And so look for those things. Resolve every day to at least have found and thought on and celebrated one beautiful, pure, noble, praiseworthy thing. Number three, Proverbs 25:11 says, the word fitly spoken are like apples of gold in settings of silver. How many of you, when we hear what's spoken of today, it's more like rotten apples on trays of garbage? You know, you hear people calling other people horrible things and other people justifying it, cutting each other down, making everybody look the worse because when everybody else looks bad, I look a little better. And then someone tries to cut me down. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, he says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Celebrate with your words. Think about how you can make your words make someone else better. Little things like, thank you. You look good today. I love your smile. Can I help you? Little things like that, that are celebrations of what people are. Instead of being the last one to call someone some sort of expletive. Resolve that your mouth will bless this year. Because hasn't God blessed you? Psalm 150, we read it today. Resolve that I will worship fully and wholeheartedly. You know, we sang Psalm 150. And it says, praise the Lord with the dance. How many of us are, we don't want to move our feet. Come on, feet. Because I'm in church. You know, some churches I've been at, and I'm not this Pentecostal. I'm a good Baptist. But you know what? God deserves us to celebrate Him. We have these instruments out here so that you guys can grab things and make noise. Praise the Lord with the crashing cymbals and the trumpets. You know, at night we have Brother Megan come here and he brings out his trumpet. And his trumpet is really, from a musical perspective, too loud. Because you can't hear your singing over it. Do you know what? Good for it. Because I know he praises the Lord with his trumpet. I'm still hoping that in 2019, Mr. Tony takes his out. And we can have a trumpet duo. And that's going to be even louder. But enjoy the Lord with your hands and your feet and this. And if you feel like moving around a bit with the music, I'm too gringo for that. No, you're not all gringo anyway. I think I'm the only real gringo here. Enjoy it. Celebrate when you worship God. Psalm 19:10, the judgments of the Lord, the Bible says, are sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. I resolve to find the honey when I study God's word. Now, I already gave you the read through the Bible in a year, but that's not this. The Bible is not medicine. The Bible is food. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Delight yourself also in the law of his delight is in the law of the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by living waters. Psalm 1. When you go through the Bible, if you have parts You know, yes, you've got to get through the first part of the books of Chronicles if you're going to read through in a year. But don't spend all your time, oh, I've got to get through these begats. I just got to get through these begats. You know, you've got to get through these begats. Yeah, get through these begats. Get through them fairly quickly and go to something you enjoy. Spend your time with the Lord. It's His word He's talking to you. Find the honey. If I were to ask you right now, what passages in the Bible give you the most delight? Would you be able to give me one? Well, John 3:16. Yeah, okay. Something longer than John 3:16. Psalm 23. All right, good. Getting a little better. Find those passages and spend time in them and soak in them and delight in what God has. I will search for wonder and beauty and joy in God's world. You know, it's an amazing world we have out there. And in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 30, the writer of that chapter goes through and he says, there's some things that really amaze me. Like how a snake goes across a rock. Have you ever watched? I know a lot of you don't like snakes. But have you ever watched them? They haven't got any legs and they move faster than you can. They go across the rock. Using Tony and I, and we sometimes are out walking at night, and we're saying we're slithering by. Well, the snakes really slither by. It's an amazing thing. Or a ship on the sea with a sail. Have you ever watched that and seen how amazing it is? Or the Proverbs tells to go to the ants, you know, or look at a spider. It's all these things. You're like, look at a spider. They're amazing things. As they spin their webs and they do these things. Or the rock badgers up in the cliffs and the mountain goes. Look at all these things in creation that God talks about, the eagle and how it flies. We go by, and I know I'm guilty of this sometime, we go by the day in our faces and our iPhones. You know, oh, wow, look at this new effect on this video, you know. And meanwhile, there's egrets flying by overhead that are much more amazing than anything you're going to find on your iPhone. In 2019, you know, you walk places. You see the birds on 10th Street, you know, in the corner there. And have you ever watched them when they fly and there's hundreds of birds, maybe thousands of birds flying together, their wingtips an inch apart from each other, and you never see them whack each other in the head and fall on your car? You know, they all know exactly. And how do these birds all, when they land on the wire, how come they're all facing the same direction? Who told them we're all going to face our beaks east or north? There's 1,000 birds there and they're all going the same way. It's an amazing thing. We call it instinct. You know what instinct is? Instinct is a word for saying I don't know what it is. Because nobody knows why these salmon swim across the Atlantic or the Pacific, whichever side they're on when they're in there, and they come right back to the very stream where they were born and jump up there. How? There's thousands of miles of coastland. My GPS isn't even that accurate. And they got one in their head. God put Google Maps in their head. And they come back. We don't notice these things. We're so caught up in our stuff that we can't celebrate. That's why, you know, people like Vincent, who's a birder, I'd love to be a birder, except my eyes aren't good enough. I can't see any bird smaller than an ostrich. So, you know, it's sort of hard for me. I used to go out with Dr. Van Dyke and Dr. Roberts, and they'd be pointing some birds out in a tree and say, "You see that little bird over there? You know, it's a yellow-beaked gobbledygook, you know." And they're looking at this, and I'm trying to see I can barely see what tree they're pointing at, let alone the bird at the tree. But I envy them that. Because they go and they see all these wonderful little things. And even the things that I can see, birds as big as like herons and pelicans and stuff like that. Awe me. But resolve to look at God's creation, which he said was very good, and celebrate it. And write the things down if you can. See, today I saw a perfectly white and a perfectly black duck, and they were going down together at the park, you can say, and how wonderful it was. Or just hummingbirds. Hummingbirds, I saw a picture yesterday on Facebook of a hummingbird and three bees at this bird fountain. You know, they're all just drinking there together, three bees and a hummingbird. And the hummingbird's just about as small as the bees. And they're all just there, you know. When I get near a bee, I want to be far from the bee. The hummingbird doesn't care, the bees don't care. They're just there drinking together. What a wonderful thing it is. Now we come to a couple last ones, and I want to look in Ecclesiastes 9 for both of them. Now, Ecclesiastes is a book that talks about how depressing the world can be. But then it comes and says, in that depressing world, God gives you wonderful things. And so the first one I want us to look at is in Ecclesiastes 9:9. It says, you have a vain life, which means a vaporous, steam sort of puff of smoke life. It's here and then it's gone. And in that verse 9, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your short vapor life. That's what the word vain there. Don't look at the word vain as useless. The word vain comes from the Hebrew word for vapor, and it means your life is going to be short. When we say, marry, you know, I'm going to marry you forever. Nah, you're not. 50, 60, 70 years at the maximum, and it's a puff of smoke. Live joyfully with your spouse during the time of your short life if you're married. Don't sweat the small stuff. Grab her, grab him, and enjoy it. It doesn't say, the Hebrew isn't live, you know, have joy in your spouse even. The Spanish one translates it better. Goza de la vida con la mujer que amas. Rejoice in life with the woman that you love. That's closer to the original. It said, you and her, rejoice in your life together. Find things you can enjoy. Don't make your marriage this thing is all about business. Make your marriage a thing where you both look at life and grab the things and enjoy them. Together. I don't care if it's gardening or whatever it is that you like to do together. Do it together and enjoy it. Because the final one is here. Live wholeheartedly and joyously. Start in the same passage, chapter 9, but go back to verse 7. Go. Here we go again. Eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with a merry heart. And I want you to notice this. For God has already accepted your works. Says God loves you. He's accepted what you're doing. Enjoy it. Don't sweat it. Live for him, but enjoy it. Go eat. Go drink. He goes on in verse 8. He says, let your garments always be white and let your head lack no oil. Verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. He says, take this life and live it. Enjoy it. It's holy to do so. So often the church has put themselves in a little room. Said, I'm just not going to sin. I'm 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 not going to sin. We shouldn't be sinning. But you know, there's a lot of people who don't sin. And they're all buried at the cemetery up on over by the airport and places like that. You know, they just lie there. No, don't just live, I won't sin. Live, say, I will go out and I will live abundantly. And I'll grab the joy that God throws to me because God is a God of joy and the joy of the Lord is my strength. Jesus died not that we could become monks and nuns and be in some little cloister and never enjoy. God sent his son to die so that we could live abundantly. And the world needs to see it because the world is drowning in sorrow and depression and sadness. And they look at us and we look even sadder.
We're Christians, you know, it's so hard to live the life that the Lord calls us to live.
See, I don't need that. I've got enough of that where I am. You know how we're going to show the world we're different? The joy of the Lord is our strength. In 2019, resolve to celebrate the Lord in the life that he gave you. Because that's why Jesus came, to deliver you from the slavery of sin, which always brings you down, and to usher you into the freedom of the kingdom of God as we put our faith in him. Resolve to rejoice. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful day, and we pray, Lord, that you would help.